Morning, everybody. Welcome to Chatting Between Takes. I'm your host, Sean Benson. I hope the sound quality is pretty decent here. I'm driving in my car. I'm going to work. I'm going to meet a friend and help him with some stuff, and then I'm going to go teach my photography. Oh my God, what an amazing time it's been since we last spoke. You know, today is the morning of a brand new day. A whole new world. Justin Trudeau has just been elected Prime Minister of Canada. You know, I'm real happy about this. I will not discuss who I voted for. I believe that's private. You can guess who I didn't vote for. The thing for me, it's so funny. Already on Facebook, the couple of friends I have who, you know, aren't happy about this are going on about how as the country now goes into debt and like slides and it's time to hide your money under the mattress. Like, people are actually already writing this on Facebook. Well, A, come on. Like, I don't know if that's sore losership, because yeah, if the conservatives had won, all the other people on my Facebook page would be going on about the opposite. So I get it. You know, you wanted to win, you lost, and it sucks. Here's the thing though. It's not true. Okay, and this is kind of what I want to start with. And I'm talking capital C, capital L, or Republican Democrats. When conservatives tell you that your money's worse off in liberal hands, they're wrong. They're statistically, like ever since the Great Depression, actually wrong, because in both countries, they're statistically worse stewards of your tax dollars than Democrats or liberals. That's a fact, okay? So what happens is they're drumming up a fear and an anxiety in you and saying, well, if you don't blah, 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 it's going to go real bad for you. But it doesn't, okay? It doesn't. It goes worse under conservative stewardship. However, the reason why I really do think it's a more beautiful day is because when conservatives say, however, we're going to fight to repeal abortion and we're going to fight to make sure that there's no legalization of marijuana and we're going to fight to make sure that, you know, Muslims don't move into your neighborhood, they actually can work on that. Now, luckily, governments have checks and balances, but that is what they mean to do, right? Like, deficit spending that Justin's talking about, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's investing in our country. You go into deficit when you buy a rental property. And had you bought a rental property 10 years ago in Toronto and you went into deficit, you'd be real happy about that. So it's real important what these numbers mean. You'd be a millionaire by now. Your building value would have increased. Your rent values would have at least tripled. You'd be a rock star right now and you wouldn't have to work anymore. So that would have been a good deficit. So this balancing the budget every second of every day, and by the way, that's why I wasn't a real fan of what the NDP was saying they were going to do, because I was like, why are you fighting so hard to balance something that doesn't need to be balanced right now? You know, and there's a difference between running the country into debt and running a deficit. Those are different ideas. In any case, the whole thing for me is that I like that our country said no to racism, no to fear, and again, the only thing that a conservative who lost can say is, yeah, well, now our economy's going to go to shit. No, it's not. By the way, the economy did great under Harper because of Paul Martin's policies under a liberal government. It's a fact. Look it up. Look up why we wrote out that recession. It was nothing Harper did. So, just to be clear, the thing that conservatives say they're going to do, they might not do fully, but it's all shitty. It's we're going to deregulate lakes and forests, and we're going to basically make sure that women have less rights. By the way, I'd love to see access to abortion clinics, access to Planned Parenthood or, you know, condoms in schools in Canada, or the sex ed stuff that the Toronto bullshit sun and everybody else was raging against. I'd love to see how those look if men who are conservative could get pregnant, if they had to choose between their business and getting pregnant and having a child. Watch how fast those laws change. And this again is where most dumb people, whoa, what did I just do there? Yo, we'll wait for it. Most dumb people lack an they have what's called an empathy gap. They lack empathy. And it goes to Dick Cheney. He's a fucking asshole against gay marriage until, oh, what happens? A member of his family's gay? Well, now he's for it. What that means is that you don't give a shit about anything until it affects you. You lack empathy. You can't understand what it might be like to be gay and live in a world, including places like Russia, where you can be imprisoned or killed. Okay, so you don't get this until it happens to you. How is that a hard concept to get? How is it hard to understand? I'll use Emily, 26-year-old actress. If she gets pregnant, she has to choose between her career flourishing during her peak years, or the beginning of her peak years, I mean, or having a baby. Now imagine being in a place where people said you can't choose not to have. That law would change real fast if that was, you know, young fucking Donald Trump, and his dad's like, well, I'm gonna give you the fucking $1 million and the keys to this empire. Oh, or you just got pregnant, so you have to do that instead. How fast do you think Donald Trump would be for abortion? He'd be for it today. So this is why I say dumb people, because dumb fucks lack the ability to go outside of themselves, and everything's just about them. Now, the other thing, too, with the whipping up of the fear is that, you know, you've got this thing where under this supposed, and again, this is for dumb people, oh, wait, terrorism's going to come to my town? Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to punch a woman wearing a niqab in the head. So ironically, there's been no real terrorist attacks in Canada, but what has happened is that supposed real Canadians are out punching women. This is happening. Why? Because dumb fuck conservatives are whipping that up. So this is why I'm real happy with how things have gone. Because they've gone to a guy who said, no, a Canadian is a Canadian is a Canadian. That was the line of the campaign for me. A Canadian is a Canadian is a Canadian. Oh, but unless you're wearing a niqab and then a real Canadian gets to punch you in the head? Is that what we're talking about? Luckily, no, it's not what we're talking about. Now, why do I keep saying dumb? Are people who are dumb, dumb just because they don't agree with me? Well, in my world, yes, but no. No, honestly, no. However, study after study, and again, dumb people don't care about studies. Study after study shows that dumb people are highly more likely to align with conservative parties. And the reason is because of what I just said. They're gonna drum up a fear. Look, intelligence is being able to hold more than one idea at once. Okay, so to go, I blah, 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 and blah, 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 they're even contradictory. Oh, well, I don't need to get red in the face and punch a wall. However, when you're a dumb guy, this is, by the way, what happened in 1968. I mean, basically, Richard Nixon was delivered the South as long as he could link the business interests. And remember, I've always said, if you're a multimillionaire, you should probably vote conservative, because the one thing they say they'll do that they effectively do is protect those interests. They don't fuck with the middle Americans' money, the conservatives. If anything, they waste it. But they do protect the interest of the very wealthy. So if I'm very wealthy, I'll start looking at their platform. I won't, because I believe in social equality more than I believe in saving 3% at the end of the year when I've already got millions. You can quote me on that when I've got millions. But in any case, so basically to win in the 60s, the Republican Party had to find a way to link the racist, dumb South with the sort of New York multimillionaire elite. And they did it. And they did it by basically saying to the multimillionaire elite, you know, well, basically the South said, listen, we'll back you, but you got to make sure you don't really give a shit about social issues. You got to make sure that we kind of get to run that, and then you get to run the country. And that's been the Republican ticket ever since. And obviously it's bled up here into Canada. But in any case, the other thing is these ideologies. It's like skinheads, right? There's the one smart skinhead, but for the most part, these aren't the brightest people. And It's easy to align yourself with something that's just so shave your head, put on your jack boots and go. And you don't ever have to think about it, you know? So that's the kind of thing where, again, do I think all conservatives are dumb? Absolutely not. Are you kidding? There's the most brilliant minds working on both sides of any aisle. But I do think that generally, stupidity did not win this election. So if you vote a conservative, I'm not calling you dumb, but I am saying that look at what they said they'd offer. They'd offer reduced rights for you through surveillance. They'd offer reduced rights for women. I don't even need to go on about this. They lost. Fuck them. The point is we chose a leader in this country who said a lot better things than that. So I'll be real curious to see. Look, nobody suggests this is a perfect party. There'll be scandals. There'll be financial mismanagement. That's not proof that we chose wrongly in this election. I always say it. You're always going to have spillage at the bar. You know, your bartender's always going to pour a few for his regular, not charge him, and then the regular's going to pay cash and the bartender's going to pocket it. That's called spillage, and that's going to happen every bar, everywhere. The difference is, does your bar have a sign out front that says no Muslims or Jews allowed? That is the difference. That's all we're talking about here. Because again, remember, statistically, you don't lose more money under a liberal or socialist government. So that part's the lie. Your spillage isn't different. Your spillage is just your spillage. It's called human nature. What sign do you want on the front? Everyone welcome. Come to this bar and have a great time. Please no fighting. Or do you want the like angry surly bar? You know, where no one can hold two contradictory ideas at the same time. There's that wonderful thing going around on Facebook. It's like a Jew, a Muslim, a Buddhist, and a atheist walk into a bar. And they laugh and they sing and they draw henna on each other because they're not assholes. If you're an asshole and you're blaming your religion, you're just an asshole. So I was thinking about this idea of elitism, okay? I've talked about this in the past. But when did elitism become a bad word? Like, when did, I know, forget politics. I mean, George Bush W. introduced this whole, like, dumb is better, right? But let's put it this way. I was real smart in high school. I got, like, my last 2 years, I got nothing but 90s. Except I think I got, like, an 84 in English, which is kind of funny because I think that was probably my big, like, fuck you to my dad as an English professor. Like, fuck you, Dad. I'm only going to get an 84 in OAC. And I don't say this to brag, school was pretty easy for me, but one thing that's interesting is no one ever made fun of me for being smart. Having really long hair and dancing ballet made it a little, you know, it was easier for the dumb guys to go for the low-hanging fruit. Because again, you know what's interesting is nobody who was getting 80s or 90s ever made fun of me for having long hair. Okay, so if you think there's a reason I'm against dumb fucks punching women in kneecaps, I have a little bit of personal, it was always dumb people who were like, fuck you, faggot, and wanted to fight. It was never a bright person. It was never the guy beside me in math where we were competing, or girl, to see who could get perfect on the test. That person was never like, oh, and fuck you, faggot. Right? So, if it seems like I'm into meritocracy and people who are elite and good at things, there is a reason. You know, it is personal. People say that Hitler got turned down by Jews at an art academy, and that was the actual, conception, I don't know which is which, of the Holocaust. You know, he was just so mad, and he was like, fuck them. Well, my version is, fuck you, dumb people, like, smart people, and again, not all smart people, because smart people architected the Holocaust, so you know what I'm saying. Karl Rove's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. But ballpark, big picture, middle American, middle Canadian voting electorate, yeah, it was, I was only ever shoved around or threatened or constantly bothered by people who couldn't hold the idea that I was straight and danced ballet. This literally fucked with their heads. So that's the kind of thing where, again, the reason I say that is, the one thing is no one ever made fun of me for being smart. So it's not like I have a chip on my shoulder about that one. But when did being good at stuff, like, I feel like back in like 1910, being good at something, you kind of just got the like respect to your community, and it was like bravo, and you know, you could sort of puff your chest out with your big mustache. Whereas these days it's like, oh, you're good at something? Ah, you're part of that New York elite. How dare you? And if it sounds like I'm doing a Sarah Palin impression, I'm not, but she really does play into that idea of like, how dare you be good? How dare you be awesome? And even with the election stuff, right? I always go on like, I know when I fill out questionnaires, I know what every question means. Are you in favor of the Eastern Pipeline or the Keystone Pipeline? Or, you know, what do you think of the TPP or the whatever? And so it's one of these things where I've done the work, and then someone hasn't, and then they're like, well, fuck it, you're wrong and I'm right. And I'm like, nothing you say is based on fact. So how are we even having this conversation? And then my answer is why? And the answer is, fuck it, I'll do a podcast, so it's not a conversation. It's me preaching. But really, that is sort of that elitism idea. Volleyball was my sport in high school. You know, I was MVP a couple times, and I played beach volleyball all summer, every summer up at camp. Loved it. And volleyball is such a great example for me. There's two versions of what I want to say. One is, and I think I've told this story, my ankle's sore this morning and I have an Achilles thing going on. Yeah, woe is me, I've always got a body thing. By the way, my hip feels amazing. Go swim 50 minutes if your hip's sore. I think the whip kick and the sort of traction of the water. So, you know, we're gonna keep vigilant for a while. You know, we're not sort of cancer free yet. Like, I don't have enough time under my belt without pain, but all the stuff that was a problem isn't right now. So I'm really happy about that. My ankle's flaring up a bit, and I basically broke my ankle, or a guy broke it, like 14 years ago, because I was playing volleyball at the Y, and again, I spent a lot of time making sure, because I loved it, I was good at volleyball, and this guy comes under the net, so he's trying to do a spike, and he's doing one of those shitty one-foot takeoffs, and he's not really above the plane of the net, which is fine. But he can't control his own body weight, so he barrels under the net as I'm up in the air, and I was had the nice vertical from my ballet, and I come down, and his whole leg's under the net, and I come down on him on my side of the net, and that breaks my ankle. It's an avulsion fracture on both sides. So A, I'm good at volleyball, and I'm good at body control, and he's not. I have a broken ankle, he doesn't. So if it seems like I got, again, all this shit's personal, right? By the way, if you're flaring up at a system, it's personal. Do you think I really care about politics? My dad treats my mom like gold these days. I don't know if he did in the 70s, but it ain't the 70s anymore. But my mom perceives him attacking her at all times. Well, guess what she does? She punches the woman in the kneecap in the head. She attacks my dad, at least verbally, at every turn because he attacks her. Well, no, he doesn't. Like, he doesn't. There's no evidence of it. He doesn't do it. So this is personal, people. This bullshit idea of attack, it gives her that raccoon in a corner justification to attack. It's so unfair. It's unconscionable. So this is personal. This isn't about politics. None of the stuff I talk about is. It's personal. I have a broken ankle because someone sucks. You know, and he never said sorry. It's all personal, man. And the other one is, on a more like metaphorical plane, in volleyball there's six of you, and if one of you sucks, they can just keep serving to you and you'll lose the game. It's not like basketball where if they're, you know, you can't come over and like block for someone. Like, a good server will find that one out of six who's crap, and you're done. You're just done. So again, that's one of those things where it's like, what team are we letting down by not giving a shit about being good at anything ever? Man, I'm on fire this morning. I'm going to meet a buddy. I'm going to do a job. By the way, I think it's because I'm tired. I've been shooting until like the wee hours of the morning. Yesterday, I got about 2 hours of sleep. Last night was better because I went to bed early. But as good as things are going in my life,
tired equals cranky. Cranky Benz. Okay, I gotta do a little stop here. We'll talk to you guys in a bit. All right, everybody, we're back. Just driving down one of the Mississauga Road out in Mississauga, aptly named, is just so gorgeous right now. It's, you know, it's a pretty wealthy street, so it's sort of windy, pretty, lots of nice trees. I'm a big fan of this drive right now. I'm getting in as many hours in the car as I can. And it's tough because I'm fairly busy. So like when I have an hour and a half between meetings, I'll just do a short, quick spin. I got this nice little loop in Toronto, sort of Gardner, up DVP, then loop back around, back down the DVP, maybe along Richmond if it's at night. It's so nice. By the way, we haven't talked about this since I was away. But I've mentioned that years ago I gave up drinking and stuff, and so I hit a sort of anniversary for myself on that. About a week ago, it was 8 years since I've ever picked up any kind of alcohol or drugs. And I'm so ecstatic about all that. You know, a lot of the thing, you know, I don't really listen to these podcasts back. Sometimes I'll double check if I have the quality I need for it to be listenable. And, you know, again, like, I'd love if all this was just in the studio. But on the other hand, I kind of get to be very, what's the word? There's an energetic while driving that's way different than when I'm sitting in the studio. So I actually don't wish it was just in the studio. And I like that you guys get to hear the roar of my flat six behind me. If you want to do some car porn, look up Porsche flat six. And talk to me in a year when you emerge broke and happy driving your vintage Porsche. So I'm glad you get to hear some of that. The only other time I listen back is sometimes I mention a bunch of people's names and I just want to give them shout outs. It's so that the first time they hear that they've been talked about is from me, even if they don't listen. But I don't want someone going, hey, so-and-so said something about you, and I didn't say, hey, I said something about you first. It's just an honorable thing, I think. My point with that is, I don't really care what I say on this podcast. And a lot of stuff I say is dumb. And a lot of it's just I'm in a mood, you know? And if you bound me to it in court, I'd shrug and go, yeah, I guess I said it. Did you believe it, sir? I guess. I mean, I don't tend to say things I don't believe. Or at the very least, and this is, I think, the more important part, riff my way to an idea that I do believe. You know, it's playing, it's riffing, it's let's see what sticks. Let's throw out some possible ideas and not have to be bound by them. And I don't give a shit that these are available, if you know what I mean. Like, Leonardo DiCaprio was once in an interview and he goes, man, I feel sorry for this young generation of super celebs. Like, I did every, this was around like the early 2005 kind of thing when Perez Hilton was showing up, or maybe that was later, but the point is that everything was being recorded, all the car crashes and all the drunk stumbles after a bar, and Leo was like, I did all that, it's just not everyone had a camera in their pocket. The flip side for me, and this goes to the whole, like, surveillance, this and that, I don't assume any email I've ever sent has actually been private. I know that there's laws prohibiting, let's say, if I say something in an email and then a law case comes up, you know, they may be bound to not use such information because it's inadmissible. So that's kind of my defense is like, yeah, somebody's probably reading my Emily, I love you and I wish you were here right now and I'm touching myself, ayo, email while I'm in Paris, but whatever. You know, and that's kind of my point is for me, the world's flipped where there's just these security cameras on every corner and I just don't assume anything I'm doing is private. That doesn't mean it's okay. It just means I'm not an idiot. So even talking about these podcasts, it's like, what am I going to do? Pretend I don't think and feel things that I'm writing that aren't private anyways. But the flip side, and the, again, this goes to the holding contradictory ideas, just because I say it, ooh, this is interesting. I don't even know what this means. Just because I say it doesn't mean that I believe it. Or just because I say it doesn't mean that I mean it. Now, that might mean I have to apologize later, or that might mean that, as you guys know, I'm very willing to do, I just kind of retract it and go, hey, remember when I said blah, blah, blah? Nah, that's kind of dumb. But that's kind of the fun of it. Now, what's the point of all this? The point is that if I go to bed tonight and I don't chug a bottle of wine or smoke some crack, who gives a shit if I say something dumb on a podcast? I mean, really, what's the worst that can happen? Is I gain or lose a listener, you know? By the way, shout out to all the listeners, the podcast. You know, a lot of it's on me, right? When I post regularly, the listener count just goes way up. And then when I lay off, it goes way down. Hence the car casts, because there's no way with everything I got going on these days. And by the way, lest I sound like a blowhard, I just have like life, work, you know. I'm shooting a series. I just finished a film. I can't really talk about it yet, but I was working with some, this one guy who's very, like, well-known, I don't mind talking about him, Brian J. Smith. He is as talented a person as I've ever worked with, and this other guy, Raul Trujillo, like, these guys are just top drawer, and then Brian especially. I mean, he had to carry more of the drama of the thing we're working on, and, it's a delight to see someone who's so dedicated and so good and cares so much every single night, take after take. You know, the guy's really an example of excellence. And it was a pleasure to work with him. And then now I'm starting a new thing this weekend. I was actually going to go to Russia. I booked a job there. But some of the details of it compromised things I was willing to do. So I said no to it. Again, just like saying something dumb on the podcast, for 8 years plus now, as long as I don't, and this is just how my body works, you know, I love the Porsche stuff. My body's like a Porsche. I don't even remember the exact number. I don't do my own oil changes. I think it might be 11 liters of oil the Porsche takes. It's a dry sump system. It's an air-cooled engine. So it's not like, I don't know, 3 liters like a normal car. I don't even know. It's been ages since I've done an oil change, other than on a motorbike. So let's say it's 11. If my Porsche only gets 7, it doesn't work. And if my Porsche gets 15, it starts to cavitate and the oil bubbles and flows and it doesn't work. So there's a liter, a quart variance of what will make this car work well. That's like me. It's just a fact that if I don't drink and I don't do drugs, I work well. It's not a judgment. I had to come to that because I thought it was a big failure that I couldn't smoke crack like a gentleman. Turns out I can't. That's not a failure. My Porsche can't run on 3 liters of oil either. So that's the cool thing that I got to learn about myself, and that's part of the joy of growing up. If I went running and did sprints, I'd actually really like to tonight, I will fuck my Achilles for tomorrow. I don't have to be happy about it, but it's a fact. So what I'm going to do is some biking tonight, and I'm going to ice my Achilles. That's going to work for me. I'll wake up tomorrow and I won't have hurt it. Blah, blah, blah. You see what I'm getting at? So that's the great thing is, like, I get this job offer to go to Russia. It seems exciting. And then I get the details of the job offer. And remember, the details are the offer. So if I say to you, hey man, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, and guy or girl, you go, oh my God, I'd love that. Well, that's pretty good. Like, we've expressed a desire, but the details are actually where the thing's going to fly or not, right? So then I go, great. By the way, I never want kids, and I will only live in Manhattan. And you go, what? Oh, I want kids, or I've decided to hook up with a guy, and you're like, I want kids, I want to adopt, and I can only live in LA. Well, that's the details, right? That's the deal now. So we've expressed the desire, but nothing's happened yet. And by the way, nothing has to happen. There's no failure in wishing for something that can't work because once the deal, i.e. the details emerge, it ain't it. That's just how it is. I'd love to be in the band Analog Smith still. I love those guys. Phil, Kobe, Drew, Ty, big shout out. Greg Cash, Kevin and Chris, and Frank, how you guys helped out. Like, that was gold for me. By the way, I don't self-promote enough. Go to Analog Smith on iTunes. Type in Analog Smith and buy those five songs. You will love them. I promise you will love them. Whether they're your new Taylor Swift jam or not, those songs are brilliant. You will love them. Analog Smith on iTunes. Go check it out. You'll love it. And then write me on Facebook or tweet at me how much you dig it, because you will. And if not, I'll send you a free Chatting Between Takes mug. Hey, oh, Damon. By the way, Damon, I love that fucking mug. I use it often. So I'd love for that to be the case, but I live in Toronto and they live in LA. Now, where am I going with this? I'm going that as long as I don't drink or do drugs, my machine tends to run pretty well. I hacked a few butts on set last week, and in Manhattan, I love smoking. I don't have to quit because I don't actually smoke, but I haven't quit is the point. Ever, and I always say that. Ask me when I've quit smoking, count back from the day I die, how many days since I had one. But I'm sure as shit not gonna have a smoke, let's say this week. It's just not that kind of week. I'm okay with that. I don't go to bed all guilty. I just don't. I'm about to eat a big meatball sub with Tom. I'm not gonna feel guilty about the cheese on that. I'm never gonna think twice about it. I'm just gonna make sure I don't drink or do drugs today, and I'm gonna have a good day. Things might not go the way I want. So, then all that relationship stuff I was just talking about, where does that come into play? Well, again, I spent years trying to make the relationship with the person who only wants to live in LA and wants to adopt kids when I don't. I tried to make that work, i.e. my relationship with myself. I was trying to force the wrong guy into a sort of faulty relationship. It could never work. The drinking guy and the non-drinking guy couldn't have a good relationship. So that divide equaled crappy life. That is fundamental, interestingly, to all the relationships I have. You want me to go to Russia? I don't want to go to Russia because of what it would involve. No problem. I don't go to Russia. Well, I could go to Russia and then I'd be upset or angry. Maybe it would work out, but probably not because of what it would involve for me. So there we go. Done. Not a problem. How many relationships in your life aren't working because you're trying to put 12 liters of oil in a 9-liter Porsche? Bam! Oh, shit. That was magic. Like, that was magic. See, I don't hear applause, so I just get to applaud for myself. If you never applaud for yourself, try it. I do a podcast because I think I'm funny. I think my thoughts are cool. By the way, Dave, I really appreciated your message, you know. Dave Steele is one of my best friends since I was 8. And that's a beautiful thing, Dave. And anyways, he just sent me a nice comment about the podcast. And it's just nice to know people are listening and enjoying it. Anyways, I'm going to go eat some lunch, some meatballs. We'll catch up to you guys on the way to my job after. And we're back, everybody. You know, it's a new day, I think. I kind of lose track of time sometimes. But the other podcast was a little short. So let's call this the same one. So I won't even say welcome to Chatting Between Takes. I'm really excited because I actually have with me in the car the actors from the conservative campaign commercial. How you guys doing? How do you feel about the election? Well, I think that Justin's just not ready. Yeah, right, but that's sort of moot now because he's just not ready. Yes, we heard you. And sir, how do you feel?
Oh no, he's not ready. Justin's just not ready. Look at this hair.
He has lovely hair, sir. I will point out, by the way, that Stephen Harper also, I believe, was the first prime minister to ever have a full-time hairstylist with him. He had very, actually more of a coif,
because he's just not ready.
Yes, we did hear that. He's just not ready. Now, here's the thing is, he won. So what does that mean?
If he's not ready.
Got it. And I'm sorry, ma'am, you were saying, I just don't think he's ready. I'm not saying not now. Okay, right, but it is now. So you can't really say not now, if you know what I mean. Like, I don't even understand this application process you guys are doing. We vote for our prime minister.
He is not ready. What is he going to do? Send a coat over to beat ISIS?
Right, but you do understand that sending coats to Syria is actually part of a program that the conservatives engaged in before they lost the election as well.
It's not ready.
Yes, no. here's the thing, right? Is just because you send coats as part of a foreign aid package doesn't mean that that's all you think is needed for foreign aid. It's not sort of coats.
It's not ready. It's going to embarrass us on the world stage.
Yeah, right. Okay, so apparently, like 36 hours in, he suggested to Obama he's going to withdraw certain fighter jets, and Obama's quite cool with it. So
he's not ready. He's going to embarrass.
Right. I don't understand what he's going to embarrass, because you understand that already. By the way, I don't know if you saw the Twitter stuff today. I just don't think he's ready. Look at that hair. Right. A lot of women are looking at that hair. Do you not? I said he's not fucking ready. Okay, so I wonder how badly Stephen Harper would have lost had he been
ready. He's not fucking ready, man. He's not ready. Fucking look at him. We're not saying not now, but not...
Right, but not now. Like, not at all. By the way, other people in the commercial, I notice you're quiet. You had a lot to say in the commercial. Anything I could... He's not fucking... We heard from you, ma'am. Yes, I understand that he's not ready.
He's not fucking...
You know what? We're going to call this a day here, my friends. Thank you very much, the commercial actors who believe that Justin isn't ready. Sadly, he is. Like it or not. Because he is. there you go. Don't let the pavement hit your ass on the tumble out of my Porsche, Bill Burr, TM. Driving the Porsche to karate, my friends. So excited. Wish me luck. At this point, I'm reading that there's zero traffic. Yes, right.
Traffic is not ready.
Lest you think I'm being racist, that's a real guy I'm imitating. And if you're going to tell me he's from like a totally different region than the accent I'm doing, ding, da, dang, 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 you get a free chatting between takes mug. You know, it's funny. Whenever I do tests, and I mean like an IQ test or a reading comprehension test, or even just these like games, you know, like Lumosity or Elevate, I test in the 99th percentile for English. English language, like English comprehension, writing ability, spotting mistakes, grammar, you know, basically anything but writing an essay, because you can't really do that on a computer. I tested at least a master's, if not a PhD level. I didn't ever take English beyond high school. And as I mentioned,
fuck you, Dad.
It was my lowest mark in OAC, but my actual, you know what I'm saying. That's because I didn't do assignments. The only course I've ever failed in high school, I didn't fail the final, but I failed a term of English because I convinced Mr. Gent to let me and Matt Zellin do a documentary film on the history of rock and roll, and then knowing full well that this was supposed to be an enrichment program and in addition to our assignment on whatever fucking book we were supposed to read, I just didn't do the other one. And it made up about 50% of our grade. And then since I didn't get perfect on every other assignment, and you know, I tried to do then what I try and do now, which is use acting / creative arts as my excuse for not doing any real work. It didn't work. He failed me that term. I ended up getting like a 70 or something for the whole thing. So it's not like my grades have always reflected some genius I think I have. Here's my point. Independent of effort, I test off the scale when it comes to English as a tool, but I've never really studied this. If anything, I've made sure not to study it. Because I grew up in a home with an English professor. And not just an English professor, but one who loved it. His students loved him. He loves the whole world of that. He's been retired for 22 years and is still just diving into Oscar Wilde and Pride and Prejudice and loves it. Guess what? Growing up in a home teaches you things that you don't even know you're learning and that are basically immeasurable, i.e. off the scale. Now look, we all know that scions of rich families end up being bums, monkeys, drug addicts, which, by the way, doesn't disqualify anything from anybody as long as they're in recovery, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not saying, but look, Justin Trudeau's on the ball, and you cannot discount what you learn when you grow up in the home of the prime minister. And I even said this to someone on Facebook, like, they were actually kind of agreeing with me, but, like, look at Will Smith's kids and Jada Pinkett Smith's kids. Do you think they're sitting around going, oh my God, I get to meet Brad Pitt tonight? I mean, I'm sure they have their favorite pop star, but generally speaking, they're not real fucking impressed with celebrity. Especially the one guy who's like, he's like creating his own like reality or whatever, because he grew up in the pinnacle of what supposedly are realities, right? And I always felt like Brandon Lee was the same, where Bruce Lee had to work really hard to create quote unquote Bruce Lee. And by the time Brandon came along, when Brandon in interviews would talk, there was an actual ease about all the Zen stuff that Bruce Lee had to work so hard to sort of sell, because he was like the pitch man for it. That was his product. And Brandon just kind of owned it. I own the English, you know? I'm just saying that it's not a guarantee that someone's going to be good, but it sure as shit, I believe, assuming you're on the ball, the fucking 18 years of being a child in the prime minister's house can equal more than the, I believe it's a 6-year advantage as an MP that Harper had. It's just an immersion, you know, because remember, Trudeau was still an MP for, I believe, 2006, what's that, 7 years. So he's been working as a member of parliament for 7 years. And since when does being a teacher discount you? As a son of two teachers, what a fucking insult, you know? And again, who just happens to also be, like, descended from the best sort of Canadian lineage we have. I mean, unless Kiefer Sutherland wants to go, and Tommy Douglas, Bill Burr, TM. Anyways, I'm just saying,
he's not ready.
When you combine his adult experience with what he was immersed in as a child, yeah, he's fucking ready. He's gonna do great. And again, won't be perfect. There'll be spillage. But I love... Oh, fuck, there was a video of him today dancing... I'll get the name of the dance wrong. The Banjara or the Banaji. Sorry, East Indian people. I've actually danced this same dance at a wedding. Some of my best friends are East Indian people. And what a glorious thing for me, as a long-haired fucking ballet dancer. And if I'm getting excited, I think I am getting excited. Pierre Trudeau famously did his pirouette. And you got fucking long-haired Justin out dancing in the Indian garb shamelessly. You know? I guess I like the guy. There you go. Let's see how it goes. I'm not going to tell you who I vote for, but it might surprise you. But let's see how it goes, because I'm more excited than I thought I'd be. A whole new world. Anyway, the circle of life. Oh, Justin, yeah. Do me there. Justin. Sorry, what?
What?
Some girl in the States was like, oh, I've never wanted to be fingered by a prime minister before. Hey-oh. Does anyone remember fingering? God bless. God bless. Gentlemen and lesbian ladies, get good at fingering. It will change your world. It'll change your world. I swear to God. In the circle of life. Does anyone remember laughter? Song remains the same. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Someone who I love said today, I'm at heart a conservative. Love to know what that means. Love to know what that means. Especially since this is someone who received a great amount of assistance from his community and his family through something. Love to know what that means. When at heart you're something that factually doesn't fiscally protect you, and you have relied greatly on the help, essentially the kind of help that at heart, a lot of conservatives don't want to provide. Joe Biden today said he wants to provide free college, state college or whatever. I don't know, whatever it is. I'm on that page, man. We can fund, let's get real clear here, trillions of dollars of war. But funding college makes us Reds and communists. That's why I'm not at heart a conservative. That's it, right there. We can't, like, make sure every family's got a certain living standard, but we can make sure we have fighter jets that don't even work for trillions of
dollars, man. It's not ready. Give me the F-35 bomber.
Give me the fucking F-35 bomber. Harper's gonna protect me against Muslims.
He's not fucking ready, man.
Uh-huh. 401 West. How many times have I driven this road? Easily thousands. I love it. Tonight is a gorgeous night. I wish you guys were in the car with me. A, because then you could ask me to stop singing. Uh-huh. And B, because it's this... Here's why I love winter so much. It's the drives. I sadly won't be in this car for most of them. But I hear we're getting a mild winter, so you never know. And I'm on a different insurance than I was last year. So last year it benefited me to take insurance off my car during the winter and just leave comprehensive. Whereas this year, it's all just comprehensive. It's a vintage car insurance, so I can, I don't have to worry. So if there's a beautiful day and it hasn't been salted yet, it doesn't even matter if there's snow on the road, actually. It's the salt that's going to hurt my car. So until that salt comes, please, no salt, city. I don't want anyone dying from sliding into a wall, though. Snow's a real thing. Anyways, you guys are the best. I've been rambling on about all this crap. And like I said, I get some nice feedback about it. And like I said, who cares, really? Who cares? I like a long-haired dancer more than a fucking short-haired stick in the mud. That's all we're talking about. It's personal. It's always personal. I wonder where in our lives, where in your life is something global that you think, oh, the fucking government's going to overtax me or the whatever, but it's maybe not happening, right? Like I talk about my mom. Oh, I want to talk about that in a sec. But I want to, you know, who will be sitting in her gorgeous house complaining about Guelph stoplights, even though she hasn't seen them, she just read about them. And she's in her gorgeous house with her family all around her, which is apparently the only thing she wants. So the stoplights haven't affected her in the slightest. But that vibe is so important. So, yeah, you know, where is it just personal? Where am I just mad because I didn't get the girl? I didn't get a lot of girls in high school. It was hard. The girlfriends I had were fabulous. Shout outs, ladies. But high school was not easy for me and women. And guess what? Thanks to therapy, it wasn't their fault. It wasn't the jocks. The jocks. I was a jock. It wasn't those guys, those dumb fucks who wanted to fight me. It wasn't their fault. It was my fault because I didn't know how to look a girl in the eye and say, hey, how's it going? How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Going to ask you some questions.
I'm drinking a monster beverage right now. I don't think this is going to help my sword tonight, but it's sure going to help me not crash on the way to sword. Pretty excited starting a new project next week. I don't think I can really talk about it yet. It's not that these things are secret, right? Like, there's some projects that are really secret. We have to sign non-disclosure agreements. You know, they're auditioning for the new X-Men movie, and I'm auditioning for it. So, simply, they don't want the content or the casting out. You know, they do rollouts with these things, and it benefits them. So I understand that. This is a little bit more subtle. For example, the last project that, again, I still can't really mention, they just haven't created their presence yet. So what they don't want is a trickle before the big flow. I'm sure sometimes leaking is a great thing, but whatever. This stuff's, it's not X-Men, it's just good work. But they just haven't coordinated their campaign yet. That's all I'm really getting at. But I'm super excited for this. These scenes are brilliant. People I get to work with are phenomenal. And it's been a hell of a summer and a fall. By the way, again, I don't promote myself enough. My Saving Hope stuff's airing. If you're not tuning into Saving Hope, go back to episode 3 on ctv.ca, find Saving Hope, and then watch 3 and 4, and then 5 airs tomorrow night. I'm really proud of this work. I think you're going to dig it. And, you know, I don't talk about this kind of stuff much, but I think it might open some doors for me. There's a charm and a simplicity that I got to go for with this guy that I don't always get to go for in some of the stuff I play. So that kind of thing is just always in demand for a man. So there we go. We'll see what happens. It won't be a literal, like, oh, I saw you on that thing. It'll be, that becomes part of my demo reel, and then that demo reel gets sent to the States, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it becomes part of a package, and also just the good relationships formed over, you know, a summer and 6 episodes of work, or 7, whatever it was. So, good stuff. Really happy. And I hope you guys get a chance to see it. The mom thing. I'm pretty sure I touched on this. Again, I don't remember. I've had a bit of time to digest going to Europe with my mom. And the one thing that I'm almost embarrassed to say, and I don't say this as a joke, is that it was really fun. I wasn't expecting that. And I think it was actually funny because I'm going to see my sensei, Randy Dauphin. And I think we were talking before I went. And I don't know if he asked or if I was just talking, but I said, you know, I don't really know what I'm going for. And it's, I think it's the lack of expectation that meant, A, there was no disappointment, and B, it was, there was room for the trip to be what it was. And what I mean by that is this. There was no weeping at a gravesite. I thought there might have been. There was no hometown, this is where I... you know, my sweater got stolen when I was 6, and this is where I kissed my first boy at 16, or whatever. I was kind of thinking that might be the way it went, but it was the exact opposite. The trip existed in the present. One of the most fun times we had was at the Nürburgring, hanging out. And part of it, I think, for my mom is, you know, when does a 77-year-old, post-stroke, half-crippled woman get to hang out in a parking lot with a bunch of fucking race cars? And her son, who knows the scene, he's speaking German, which is cool for her. And I'm just having a blast. Do a lap, come back in, chat, do 2 laps, come in for a coffee. Like, it was present. It wasn't nostalgia. It wasn't whatever. And, you know, just eating little candies while driving the Autobahn and chatting and all that stuff. Good stuff, man. You know, I'm really happy. And it's funny because I want to be really cool. And I want to make that whole thing about, oh, I'm such a good son, and my mom's getting older, and, you know, do the little touch of my heart when I'm talking to a girl and be like, yeah, I don't know how many chances there'll be to do this trip again. Because then I, like, you know, I'm a little white knight. It wasn't that at all. It was so much simpler, so much more fun, really cool. And you know what? I can pretend I ain't, but I'm a mama's boy. I'm a fucking daddy's boy too. It's all good. I'm proud to be a part of my family. It's interesting because this is the part of being proud to be a conservative that I often wonder about. Like, I fucking worked through it with you guys. You guys are half my therapist. I work through my love and my hatred to try and get to an honest reckoning of what's up with my family, what's my role in it, what's the deal. My pride is not blind. My pride in being Sean Benson, son of Renata and Eugene, brother of Ormond, is not blind. It's based on the present, the very thing I'm talking about. And that's what I always wonder about with people who are proud of stuff beyond reason. I guess what I'm wondering is, what was your familial deal? Ah, interesting. Interesting. What's your familial deal that if you face the truth, I'm not talking about people for whom conservatism benefits them, i.e. multimillionaires, but other than that, I'm wondering what truth if you faced about your family or yourself within your family. Look, this sounds arrogant as fuck, because it's basically saying if you crack open, but I do believe that, because I believe that's where we go towards empathy. So you can't be empathetic and think gays shouldn't have rights. I just don't believe it's possible. And if you're like, well, I just don't think gay is right, it's like, well, what? Well, then we'll go toward the personal freedom idea of conservative. Who cares what someone does on their own? And who gives a fuck if they get married? I mean, whatever. I'm beating the old drum here. But you know what I'm saying is like, what do I care what my parents are doing tonight? But I used to, right? I used to count their drinks. And I used to try and insert myself in their dynamic. I dropped that rope, man. And look, I'm not Buddha. Every once in a while, I pick it back up. If we're out for dinner and my mom starts going off about something, you know, I might try and head that off at the pass. Just because I used to do that habitually when I was 8 doesn't mean I can never do it again. It's more fun than, you know, it's not a prime directive where I have to just be with them and not be a part of the dynamic. That's the beautiful part of having a voice as an adult. But again, I wonder, where if we all work through our shit would we end up? I just don't think you can work through your shit. I really don't, and maybe I'm wrong. How can you work through your shit and still want to blow someone up? Now again, I mean, I'm going to do my sword work here. Now for all the Zen aspects, unless someone's trying to blow me up, but then where does it stop? I think of the number of times I've been toe-to-toe with guys who I was willing to hit, but I didn't feel really like they were going to hit me. And then they didn't, and I didn't, and then no one got hurt. That's a good thing to me. Now, I don't get to brag about that the same way the guy who had someone run at him and knocked him out. I want that story. I wish I had that story. That's just not been my story. And by the way, like, do I want that story? I don't know. You know, I don't want to bring karate to a gunfight. I don't. It doesn't go well for the karate man. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, at what point... it's like, again, I talked about it. When can all those weapons go hot? So that no one gets to blow anybody up. And I would contend that if you do enough work on yourself, first off, you're working on yourself, you're not blaming others. And secondly, you might have a little more compassion and empathy for the gay dude, even if you're not gay and neither's your daughter. Your daughter. Plus, we all like when chicks make out anyways. Maybe that's it. Maybe if he had a gay son, Chaney would have been all like, no gays. Because it was a daughter, and he looks at all the sapphic porno. I'm seriously, if this ever makes money, Bill Burr, I'm sending you checks. I don't mean to do it. Went and saw a bunch of comedy in New York. Oh shit, those comedians were good. I mean, it's the Comedy Cellar, it's Manhattan, and you know, everybody on stage is like a writer for Seth Meyers or Jimmy Fallon or, you know, on a show like 30 Rock or whatever. These people are fucking funny, man, and they know how to do this. And then I was chatting with the host after, who was also amazingly funny. I think his name might have been Ryan Reese. I think I'm wrong about that. Anyways, if it is, look him up. He's great. We had a nice long chat after me, him and Emily, and he said the thing that I always go on about. He's like, because, you know, I want to do some open mic. And he just goes, yeah, man, if you really want to do this, you just got to do it every night. Like, you got to go out every night. And you're going to be really bad till you're good. And this guy was great. I loved him. And he's like, and you're going to go out, and you're going to suck, and you're going to suck. Because you don't know what's funny to an audience of people you don't know, even if you're the funny guy among your friends. And I like to think I can be pretty funny situationally. You know, me and my friends, we kind of spend the most of our time laughing when we're shooting the shit. Whether it's Greg or Sensei Dauphin or Tom or, you know, we're just kind of cutting up. My brother, like, forget it. Me and Emily, we just do bits with each other. So we're having fun. And then that's way different than standing in front of a group of people and someone going, go. So I do plan on trying this. I've been saying this for years. It is a bucket list thing. But I genuinely think I'd have a good time with it. So the point is that I really love that this guy said what I say to everybody about anything you want to be good at, which is don't fucking talk about it, do it. And then, I'm really good at drinking Monster, by the way. You know, I think there's going to be a study in like 2 years that says, turns out Monster Beverage is actually fucking great for you.
It's fucking great, man. You're ready. You've been doing this for years before everybody else.
Been doing it for years before it. I mean, I'm not saying I'm the first. I didn't invent Monster, but anyways, when it turns out that Monster actually like improves everything, people are gonna like realize that I'm like, I'm in fact politics. I'm the Putin of Canada, the bare-chested like warrior, and then I'll unseat Justin Trudeau. And fuck, why don't I even do it running for the Conservative Party? Because I'll actually give you fiscal responsibility. And I'll make you feel safe with my sword. And you won't have to fear Muslims. Because you don't have to fear Muslims. Individuals, yes. Individuals, yes. There are individuals who you don't have to fear, but you have to be aware want to hurt you. That's a fact of life. That's a fact of life. And they're cold-blooded and they exist. They have not worked through their shit. They never will work through their shit. They're fucking damaged goods. Either chemically, short circuit. They're the rattlesnake. Who's poisonous? Chop off head with rake. Ask questions later.
Are you behaving, Jimmy?
Oh, fucking Russell. Shout out. Loved that. Yeah, you know. You don't get 8 chances to like have to rape 13 kids. The first 2 are enough, rattlesnake. You're out. You punched your ticket. You're off the ski hill. Hey, maybe that'll be my platform. You don't have to fear it, because we'll chop their heads off with our swords. Nice. So I'm going to be like the Putin conservative. By the way, all I got to do is show all the photos of me at the racetrack with my like 110 Petrograde petrol, and I'll get in with Big Oil. Big Oil. Big Oil. You know, here's the thing, right? I'm a hypocrite. Yes and no. I love driving my car. I have a goal to drive this thing like 5,000 kilometers before the winter. I don't think it's gonna happen because of my work schedule, but maybe. You know, if I have a free 2 days, I might just drive 48 hours worth. Because I really want to do endurance racing down the road, eh? For real. Like Patrick Dempsey kind of stuff. And it's not cheap, so my career has to take an upswing. As happy as I am, the money's got to increase if I'm going to race endurance at Le Mans, Daytona, or Sebring. Or, by the way, it doesn't even have to be the money. It could be the fame that comes from it. And anyways, blah, 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 I really want to do it, so I'll just go drive and maybe I'll burn it off. I'm just driving in circles, burning gas. And I remember, you know, a lot of oil in the Porsche. Not 12 liters, though. Maybe it is, I don't know. Who can say? I'll ask my mechanic, Jay Lloyds. Shout out to my mechanic, love my mechanic. Great guy. Jay Lloyds Classics. Go check it out in Mississauga if you need some Porsche work done. Guy is old school and knows what the fuck he's doing. I've been to other mechanics who I like as well, but part of its location, you know, I'm in Toronto, and there's a great guy, Goose LaCourte, in St. Catharines, but it's a real haul to get out there, whereas I can drop my shit off at Jay, and he's brilliant. So, I'm not even sponsored by him. I just like his work, and I like him as a guy, great guy. So anyways, I just like to drive in fucking circles, burn my oil, burn my gas, and then complain about people who wreck the environment. So, believe me, I'm well aware that I'm a hypocrite. I'm using more than my share of natural resources that way. I think I talked about this on the podcast once. I once was like the most environmental anyone could be when I did a survey, and it's because I was broke. The only vehicle I had was the motorbike. I mentioned that I had my bandmates paying, like giving me 10 bucks here and there for groceries. And that meant I wasn't fueling up a ton. I was using my bicycle a little or walking, or they were driving and I'd chip in for gas. So we're carpooling. But it wasn't any great moral code. You know, I kind of wish it was, but it's not. That's not me yet. It isn't me yet.
I don't know where that balance is for me. You know, I said melt down every gun on the planet. Like, I'd never shoot a gun again if it meant that no kid would ever get shot again. Like, right now, where can I sign that? But would I never drive a car again if it meant that I could just go down and swim in Lake Ontario or the Humber River or whatever at will with no pollution or bacteria or warnings or whatever? And I'll be honest, that's a tougher question for me, because I swim and I drive and they're pretty equal joys for me. In fact, my behavior would suggest they're not even remotely equal. I like driving way more. I want to drive to the lake. Hey-o! So, you know, I understand contradiction. I don't understand it, but I understand it. You know what I'm saying. I don't know. Maybe I should be conservative prime minister down the road. Let's see, as if an actor could ever become a conservative prime minister. Well, Nancy, bedtime for Bonzo. And that was a perfect segue into this being Back to the Future Day. Because 1985, baby, Ronnie Reagan, the big fucking win one for the Gipper. Ronald Reagan, if you don't know, I'm sure you do, was a movie star. Him and Jane Wyman doing the cowboy picks. He was on contract. He was a legit, like, you know, not like a Tyrone Power or a Cary Grant, but he was a legit contract movie star. And then he became, I think that's even in Back to the Future. I think they even say, who's the president? He's like, Ronald Reagan. And everyone laughs and is like, what, the actor? Good stuff. I don't remember Back to the Future 2. I don't remember thinking it was that great as a kid. I've only seen it once in the theater. Didn't blow my mind. The first one was such a gem. And I love sequels. That one just didn't turn me on. So I guess today's the day they went to in the future. I like the future, man. I grew up in the 80s. I'm pretty blown away. Which means I was born in the 70s. I'm blown away by what we have access to. The internet is insane. Come on. I mean, I always talk about wanting to get off it, and I mean it. But it's insane. I wanted to hear Big Wreck, that song, today. I woke up singing it for some reason. Great tune, by the way. Stands up. Shout out to Big Wreck. When you go, would you hear me scream at the top of my lungs? And I'll go, just a pocketbook brando. Good stuff. Just typed it into my phone. Listen to it. Boom. Like, that's awesome. I mean, that alone is worth the price of the future. I believe, by the way, I don't... Can't quote me on this, but I think the 70s was like the apex of environmental shittiness, and that we might actually, I mean, look, by sheer numbers of people, but I think per capita we pollute less now. I mean, you used to get rid of your McDonald's bag by throwing it out the window. There's that great scene in Mad Men where he just shakes the blanket and all their garbage from the picnic just stays on the beach. I remember that as a kid. You just kind of dump your stuff wherever you felt like. Like, littering wasn't a thing. So, you know, that for me, like, we're moving in a pretty cool direction. I'm also happy, right? Like, we've talked about this, the working through the stuff, the familial stuff. I kind of like life. Oh, here comes the traffic. Here comes the traffic. I kind of like the direction we've gone. And by the way, look, the amount that a Porsche 911 from 1989 in mint condition costs today is like 60 grand. They've gone up. That wasn't the case even 5 years ago. So everyone's like, holy shit. But guess what? That's still cheaper than a new / mint condition used car was in 1989, given inflation. Not true for all models, but for anything that's not like the rare RS or special models, the speedsters and stuff, you're still making out better with inflation. So what I get to do is buy the best Porsche, the Cayman GT4 or the GT3 RS or the 918, obviously,
and the old one. That's good. That's like music. The best time for music ever is now. You're into the hippie shit? Fucking, it's all there for you. You can type it into your phone. I like the future, man. I'm happy we're here. I think what we have is better than hoverboards. I really do. There's such an emphasis on flying, on like the personal ability to fly. I think every third popular mechanics cover was a flying car. I'd be down with that. I'm sure it would be as fun as racing. But, yeah, I like the future. Future is good. I don't see a third world war happening, he says, as Mushroom Cloud flames up in front of him in Guelph. And there's always going to be fucking assholes fighting on the East Bank or fucking, there's always some new little religious, like I say, I feel like the old donkey in Animal Farm. There's always some new group that's going to inspire fear, and they're the worst people ever. And they are. They're brutal. But again, that's not new. In fact, that used to be called the Catholic Church, with racks and shit in the basement, peeling off fingernails and cutting off genitalia and drawing and quartering people. I mean, you know, the fact that it's a, at least for us, a splinter group is a good thing. That used to be Stalin. So, you know, again, future seems to be going well. I dig it. It's days like today where I get bummed that I'm not going to be around for more of it. I'd like to live at least 50 more years. That puts me at 90. I hope there are those kind of advances that even make that. Like, I've loved my fucking life so far. And it's been hard. And I get depressed and I complain and I've had to overcome some shit. And I will again. But man, it's fucking great. So, 40 plus 10 years of it. Not quit, man. Not quit. Not quit for all of you, too. May it be happy, healthy. And I'll add this. May you not make the same mistakes tomorrow that you're making today. I know in my life, that was always the biggest bitch of all. Was, why am I fucking here again? Aren't I better than this? And the answer is, not yet. Okay, guys. I am not getting close yet. But I won't be late, because I left early enough for my sword work. You're the best. This is a wrap. Enjoy your new government. A whole new world. Oh, Justin. Justin. That's a wrap. Chatting between takes. Oh.